Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge your presence here with us now. Just as much as you were in that upper room 2,000 years ago, you are here with us now. And we pray that you would minister to us, your disciples, your beloved ones, that your Holy Spirit would speak your words to us and stir in us all that you want to do in us. As we come to this holy night, we pray that you would make yourself known in our midst. In your name we pray. Amen. This is the beginning of the end for Jesus. His hour had come. And on this night, Jesus demonstrated the depths of his love through humble service and washing feet, through instituting the Lord's Supper and submitting to the Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. All of these things are the prelude to the cross, but not just a prelude leading up to the main thing. All of these events, elements of Holy Thursday, are revealing to us more of the Lord's sacrificial love, showing us different angles on the depths and the lengths he will go in humility and suffering for our sakes. We call this night Maundy Thursday. Maundy is a word that comes from the Latin mandatum, which means command or mandate. You hear that in the word mandatum. Maundy Thursday. So what Jesus is doing here, the ways he's showing his love, the way he is sacrificing himself and laying down his life, comes with some clear expectations for us. A command. A mandate. He says later in John chapter 13 that he's giving a new command. That you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. And he's drawing this out of this foot washing, this symbolic foot washing to show what love looks like. So in verse 15, the Lord says in our reading, I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. You hear the echoes later, just as I have loved you, love one another. Just as I have washed your feet, do this for one another. Love as you have received love. Serve as you have been served. As Jesus washed our feet, we are to wash one another's feet. This is the mandate. This is the command of Jesus on this last night before his death. So to follow this command, this mandate, we need to first know and understand what has been done for us. How we have been loved. So that we can then know how we are to love and to serve one another. So let's look at that together in our text. How has Jesus loved us? It says in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. How has he loved us? He has loved us to the end. We who are also his disciples. Now, the phrase to the end does not mean to the finish or to the conclusion, as if Jesus has reached an end point and he's done loving us from there on out. No, to the end, the Greek word means to the uttermost. To the full limits. The absolute perfection of love. He loved them and us to the end of love. And we're told elsewhere that God is love. God is limitless and infinite. And love never ends because God never ends. So Jesus is showing us here the fullness of infinite, unending, limitless love, the perfection of love, through this humble service he offers in washing their feet. So this foot washing is a symbolic act that Jesus is doing, symbolic of the full offering of himself to his beloved, laying down his life, getting to the lowest point possible so that he can bless them. This is foreshadowing the cross, the absolute limits of love's perfection. Jesus humbles himself, taking on the form of a servant, Philippians 2 says, becoming obedient even to the point of death, even to death on a cross, going to the lowest place of shame, degradation, and humiliation in order to show us love. He even washed Judas's feet. After the devil had already entered Judas and influenced him to betray the Lord, Jesus knows this. He knows the betrayal and the sin against him, and still shows him the perfection of love in serving the one who is his betrayer, his enemy, the one through whom his actions he has spit in the face of Jesus and mocked him and derided all that he came to do. Jesus washed his feet. Jesus washes your feet and mine. All of us are Judas, and how we have betrayed and sinned against our Lord. And still, he gives himself fully and completely to you. He loves you to the end, to the uttermost, with the fullest perfection of love. The one who is the God of the universe, the Lord of all, creator of heaven and earth, he's bending down to serve you, lowering himself to love you, to minister to you and your heart and your needs. He washes you by shedding his blood for you, by suffering and dying in your place, bearing your sins so that you can be free. His body broken and his blood shed for you, given to us in this meal that he instituted on this night that we'll share in later, in order to give himself to you in love. So this is how you have been loved, with the fullness of love's perfection. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing that he carried all authority and power, humbled himself to serve you and me, to touch the messy places of our lives, to bring healing and purity and wholeness and cleansing. He doesn't shy away from you. He doesn't look at your dirty, stinky feet and recoil, saying, ew. He doesn't look at your soul and your shame. He doesn't look at your sins and recoil from you. He doesn't wait until you deserve it. He doesn't wait until he can get something of value out of you. He loves you to the end. So when he says, you shall love one another as I have loved you, when he says, as I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Maybe we can start to get a picture of what this command looks like in our lives. The Lord says he's setting an example for us in this symbolic act of washing feet, the job of the lowliest servant. The Hebrew rabbis said that it wasn't even proper for a Jewish servant to wash feet. It was only for a foreign-born servant to do that job. It was the lowest of the low job. That Jesus is saying, you need to do this. Because the one who is far above us and highly exalted above us, knowing the authority the Father has given him, he humbled himself to show us what love does. And now he calls us to follow that example. Love one another as you have been loved. Serve one another as you have been served. Lay down your life. Humble yourself for the sake of others as the Lord does for you. What you have received, now give. You have been loved, so now love one another in the same way. And through this, the whole world will know that Jesus is the Lord because of how we love one another. So the command is wash one another's feet. And again, this is a symbol. It represents serving one another, loving one another, humbling ourselves so that we can lift others up. Not thinking too highly of ourselves, but counting others more significant than ourselves. That's what washing feet means in our day, in our world. And we give what we have received, but we cannot give what we have not received. We must be loved by Jesus in order to love others well. This is why he says to Peter, unless I wash you, you have no share in me. We need to be cleansed by Jesus, washed by Jesus, served by Jesus before we can serve others. Because a life that has been washed and redeemed by Jesus is one that is free to love, free to serve in humility. Think about it this way. When you know that you are beloved, when you are secure in your identity as one who's redeemed by Christ, you're not then shackled by the insecurities and anxieties of trying to prove yourself to others, or trying to prove to God or to yourself that you're a really good person through how you serve, through how you love other people. Sometimes when we serve, when we do good things, the person we're really thinking about is me. How does this make me feel? How does this bolster my sense of my own goodness? When we are washed by Christ, redeemed by him, those chains have been broken, and you are free to humble yourself in love and to actually seek to bless the other. We're free to ask, how can I treat my neighbor, my spouse, my parents, my kids, my friends, coworkers? How can I treat them as more significant than myself? How can I give of myself for the sake of this one that Jesus loves, that I am called to love? Or we can think about asking the Lord, how can I serve others so that I grow in love for them? Sometimes love, it's in service that love grows. And if you're struggling to love someone, a good trick is to serve them. Humble yourself before them and watch love grow. Washing feet is a symbol pointing to a deeper reality that Jesus serves us, lays down his life for us, so we are to do the same for one another. And sometimes that means touching other people's feet, metaphorically speaking. Getting into the mess. Going places that maybe you're not comfortable going. Not shying away from serving people when they need it. How often have we known and loved someone who's going through a really difficult situation, and part of us just says, I don't think I want to get involved there. Sometimes we prefer our own cleanliness, or our own comfort, or our own pride over the needs of others. But washing feet, serving and loving others might mean getting messy, getting into the muck with someone else so that you can walk with them out of it. Many years ago, back when I was in seminary, my friend Jeff and I were helping someone from our church move into a new apartment. And this man was a disabled older man. He was on government subsidies. This was government housing in a not very nice town to begin with. It was not nice. He didn't have much, so it wasn't difficult to move him. But near the end of our time, I was taking out some trash to the dumpster outside the complex. And I get a call on my phone, and it's Jeff. And I hear panic in his voice. He says, "Get back up here now." And I hang up and I run. Something is wrong. And as Jeff was in the hallway outside of our friend's apartment, he heard someone in another apartment calling for help. And he just happened to hear them as he was walking by. And he opened the door, which was unlocked, thankfully, and saw there on the floor Carl, who had some form of degenerative muscular dystrophy, confined to a wheelchair. He'd fallen out of his wheelchair the night before and had been lying there in his own blood, in his own waste, for probably 16 hours or more. And so I got there, and Jeff and I helped him up, got him back into his chair, tried the best as we could to wipe him down, clear off the floor, got him some new clothes. I had to take several breaks to go to the bathroom and vomit because the smell was so bad. But we prayed for him, with him, and we stayed until an ambulance arrived. And a family member came after we were able to call him. But then we left. And I walked away from that situation just with a feeling of my utter inadequacy. I couldn't really help Carl. I couldn't really do enough for him. And there was a while that I felt really bad about that. But I realized more that the Lord had put us in that time and in that place for a purpose, for such a time as this. The fact that Jeff was walking down the hallway at the time he was, and his ears attuned to hear that cry. The Lord placed us there for that moment in particular, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to serve him in the ways that he needed in that moment. And I realized that I am not the Savior. But I am one through whom Jesus can work and can serve and minister. But you and I are wholly inadequate for the needs of others. We are not the Savior. So when we're called to serve and to love and to bless others, we do as Jesus calls us to in those moments. And we can't do it on our own strength, but only in Christ. In those moments that we can choose to love just as we have been loved, trusting that Jesus is loving and serving through us. I think about some of you who I know are in difficult situations, maybe caring for aging parents or other loved ones, and you get into these messy and difficult and extremely stressful situations that you wouldn't wish on your own worst enemy, where it's financially draining, emotionally draining, time demanding, physically demanding, and it's all consuming. And you do it in love. And you may not always feel love in the moment. And you may not always feel that your efforts are appreciated or valued, but you are pouring yourself out in sacrificial love as Christ has done for you. And I think the Lord's word to you is just keep going. That the Lord hasn't given up on you, and he won't give up on them. But we're called to wash one another's feet. The moments that come, the people that are in front of us. So often it's easier for us to think about being gracious and charitable and kind towards strangers more than it is the people closest to us. It's easier to think about the heroic moments of service rather than the very menial moments that fill our days. But the Lord's call to us and what he has done for us, how he has humbled himself to serve and love us, even to the point of laying down his life, it gives us the example and he gives us the grace to do so for others. In the big things and in the little things. So as we look to the cross tonight and tomorrow, I want to ask you to consider how you can be showing the love and service and humility of Jesus to those in your life. How can you be washing the feet of those who are in front of you in the ways which are available to you? Because we love because he first loves us. And as we have been loved, we are commanded to love one another. So what we're about to do here this evening is a symbol of this. And I want to encourage you to let this be a symbol of a renewed commitment for you to love one another. Let me encourage you to make a commitment through this to be one who forgives and who blesses, who is patient and gracious, who serves, who gives of yourself, counting the other as more significant than yourself. Because you have been forgiven. You have been shown grace and kindness far beyond what you deserve. You have received love. Now you are free to give love. And let's remember, it's not only a commitment to serve others, but to have the humility to be served. Because you're not only going to wash someone else's feet, but you have yours washed as well. And often to receive love is actually harder than giving it. Because we think to ourselves like, oh, I don't need that. Let me be the one to serve you. I don't need that though. That's our pride getting in the way. It takes humility to be served. It takes humility to receive love, as well as to give it. Yet we cannot truly give love with freedom until we have received love. So as we turn our hearts and minds this evening to the sufferings of Jesus, and the institution of Holy Communion, his agony in the garden, his arrest, his trial, his torture and crucifixion, we do so knowing that he has loved us to the end. To the uttermost, the very end, to the depths of hell and back, he has loved you. And all that he does tonight and tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, it's for you. It's for us together who now carry what he did for us toward one another. So as we meditate on the great work of our Lord, we remember that his love, his humility, his service was never meant to just stay with us, but to minister to us, to change us, and to go out to others through us. This is our mandate of love. And this is how Jesus will be known among us. This is how we will lift high the cross in our lives and in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.